This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to another expansive, amazing, crazy, awesome episode of The Dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. I am your wonderfully silly host. This is episode F130, and let's talk about the words. I don't think I have anything. Do I have anything to say? Is there any pre-show banter that I can throw in your faces? In your ears? I can't think of anything. All right, let's get into the first word, which is flexile or flexile, F-L-E-X-I-L-E. This is an adverb from 1613. The synonym is flexible. So you can also just say, ooh, I'm feeling so flexile today. Can I do anything that's flexile? I can stretch my thumb down. This is a weird thing to do on a podcast. Stretching my thumb down to my arm. This one doesn't work. It's not as flexile. Okay, let's make a sound effect. It's going to go, ooh, what? How do we want to do this? Do we want to go, ka, 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 ka? Or do we want to go, prrr, or maybe, no, that's a weird one. Let's go, prrr. All right, the next word is flexion. Flex with an I-O-N. This is a noun from 1615. Number one, the act of flexing or bending. The act of flexing all of your muscles like we did in the previous episode because we're so flexy. Or bending, the action of bending a thing. I wish I had something that was bendy and flexy here. I mean, I don't want to... This cable, I'm going to do some flexion on this cable because it's sort of bendy. Now we have number two is a part bent, and the synonym is bend. So the part that is bent is the flexion. Like maybe you're a plumber. You're a plumber and you're putting in some pipes for a toilet. You know, there's going to have to be a bend somewhere, a flexion point. And so maybe you get some metal or some PVC pipe that are already bent for you, and then you plop it in place where you need it to bend around all of the other tubes and pipes and boards and things. The bend. There's a bend in the river. There's a flexion in the river. Number three, the synonym is the number three definition for the word inflection, which is spelled with a C-T instead of an X, like this one. Flexion has an X. Inflection has a CT. Why? What happened there? Are these words are essentially the same thing? Flexion and inflection? And what type of inflection are we talking about? Is there an inflection in your voice? There's a certain inflection in my voice when I'm talking like this. I don't know what sort of inflection that is, but it's something. Well, I'm very curious to know what that number three definition is. Number 4A. This is, a bending movement around a joint in a limb. Examples of the limb would be, the part in the limb would be the knee or the elbow. That's a flexion point in your arm or your leg because it's all bendy. So maybe, you know, all of these are talking about bends and things. So maybe number three is actually about some sort of bending point, something like that. We'll find out in the eyes. So more about 4A. You know what? I sort of missed the rest of the definition. A bending movement around a joint in a limb that decreases the angle between the bones of the limb at that joint. So if I stretch out my arm, that's a 180 degree angle. And then as I bend my arm back, the angle between my upper arm bone and my lower arm bone is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I can't go quite to 0 degrees because there's too many big fat muscles in the way, obviously. But I can get, you know, it's close as you can. So that is that's the flexion point in that, the elbow. Anything else about that one? It says compare to the 3B definition for the word extension. So that would be where you are opening up that flexion point, opening up that joint to make the angle larger. It's the action of doing that, right? A bending movement. Yes, this is a flexion movement when I bend my arm towards my shoulder, my hand towards my shoulder. And then the extension movement is when I go the other way. Okay, fantastic. We all learned something. Number 4B, a forward raising of the arm or leg by a movement at the shoulder or hip joint. I have to do all my examples with my arms, my upper body, because you can only see down to my sternum, essentially, in the video. You can't see my legs. Wait, can you? Can you see my legs? What are my legs doing right now? So, a forward raising of the arm or leg. So I think if I just raise up my arm in the forward way over there, ooh, that gets real close to an action that I don't want to do. That's a flexion. All right, fantastic. That was everything for flexion. All of the stuff we did. Next we have flexitarian. This is a noun from 1998. One whose normally meatless diet occasionally includes meat or fish. Flexitarian is also an adjective. Oh yes, I remember hearing about this word. I feel like I don't hear this word as much as I used to. Maybe, I don't know why. This word is from the word flexible and the word vegetarian. So the idea typically is someone who does not eat meat every once in a while will eat a little meat. They're flexitarian. They're very flexible with their diet. I am not a flexitarian. I do not touch the meat or the dairy or the eggs. And so I am not flexitarian, but I respect it because I think for health, for animal rights and treating animals well, and the environment, battling climate change, I think that eating less meat and dairy are very, 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 very good things to do. We won't go into why. So I think that if you're the type of person who really wants or really feels like you need for your own body's chemistry to have a little bit of meat or something here and there, you know, I think that's fine. I can't agree with it, but you got to do what's right for yourself. And so if you add a little bit here and there, but you're mostly not eating meat or dairy, then, you know, call yourself a flexitarian. But I think it's really good to be as plant-based as you can. The Mediterranean diet, I think, would probably be a good example of sort of a flexitarian diet. But, you know, here's the thing about this word, that because it's based on vegetarian and being flexible with that, but it really can be sort of whatever you need it to be. If there is something that you choose not to eat or don't, yeah, mostly choose not to eat, but you do every once in a while, whatever that thing is, you have a flexitarian diet. You are a flexitarian in that way because you're being flexible on the thing that you are choosing not to eat. So whatever it is, you know, maybe it's almonds. You don't eat almonds normally, but every once in a while, you'll give yourself a little treat of some fancy flavored almonds, and so you're a flexitarian with the almond diet. Okay. Next is flexography. The study of watching people flex their muscles? No, I don't think so. This is a noun from 1954. It is a process of rotary letterpress printing using flexible plates and fast-drying inks. Inks? Yes. Process of rotary letterpress printing using flexible plates. So they're flexible, so they have to go around something that's round. It's because it's rotary. I think I need to look up a picture of this because I cannot visualize it. And I am a very visual person, because you can tell by looking at me. And I need to see things. There's, yeah, flexography printing. What is this? Okay. This is looking sort of similar. I'm sure that there's multiple different ways, but yes, I'm seeing images of like maybe there's like a shirt that is being printed, and there's these round cylinders that roll onto ink, and then they roll onto the thing that ink is being printed onto, and so they can just do a whole bunch over and over and over again. They just roll through. Okay, yes. So something in there is flexible. The plates that you put on to the cylinders are probably flexible. You can, you know, because each plate has to have a different pattern for the specific inks that need to go on that pattern. So rotary letterpress printing, use flexible plates and fast drying inks. Yeah, they got to be fast drying because then they're going to go through another roll. There's like maybe many, many rolls that they go through. What else? Flexographic is an adjective, and flexographically is an adverb. And this is from 1954, so, and it says it's a letterpress printing, so I think that it used to be used maybe more so for printing text, but clearly it can be used for lots of different things. So these days it looks like it's for, you know, posters, signs, shirts, shorts, underwear, whatever. All that sort of stuff. Okay, now we are going to... Wait, is there any etymology specifically? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. It's so obvious. I don't need to tell you because you're smart. Next, we have flexor or flexor. F-L-E-X-O-R. Noun from 1615. This is a muscle serving to bend a body part. And what type of body part? It's a limb. So, I assume that the good old bicep would be a flexor because it is allowing my arm to flex across the elbow. Not across. That's not the right word here. The flexor muscles. Oh, there. How many flexor muscles do we have in our body? Maybe this is a flexor muscle. I don't know. I don't know my muscles. I know some of them. I know Judy, and I know Harry. And maybe a few others. Next is flex time. One word. Ooh, it's also flexi time. Flexi time? This is a noun from 1972. It is a system that allows employees to choose their own times for starting and finishing work within a broad range of available hours. Some businesses are like, you have to work from 6 a.m. to 6:21 p.m. every day. Those are the rules. But other companies are like, nah, you know, as long as you get your work done, it's fine. You can, you know, you, as long as you're working, you know, the 8 hours or so a day, work whatever hours you want to work. Get your stuff done. Be honest. Just be a good employee. You can work whatever hours you want to work. I have a little bit of, I can adjust my schedule as needed, as I like. But again, it's like, as long as it's for me, it's gotta be pretty much during normal work hours. You know, it's not usually helpful if I'm working 8 PM, you know, overnight. That's not going to help anybody. Also, my schedule would get all sorts of messed up. Flexi time. Next is flexuous. Flexuous. F-L-E-X-U-O-U-S. adjective from 1605. Number one, having curves, turns, or windings. Maybe we're talking about a road. It's a very flexuous road when it curves left, and then it curves right, and then it goes up, and then it goes down, and then it does a loop-de-loop. This reminds me of that joke in Pee-wee's Big Adventure when they're driving down the road, and there's a sign that says, go straight, and then there's another sign that says, oh, the road's going to get kind of curvy, kind of flexuous, and then there's another sign that's the most flexuous road you've ever seen. It's curly cues and it goes all over the place. And of course, that was a very funny joke to us in the late 80s. Number two, lithe or fluid in action or movement. So yeah, if you're maybe a dancer would be described as flexuous because maybe they're flexible, but also they're moving in a very fluid way, very smooth and curvy. Maybe, you know, they got to move their arms in curves and arcs. Okay, flexuous. This is from the Latin flexus, which means bend, like a bend in the road. Next we have flexural. Flexural. Adjective from 1877. Number one, of relating to or resulting from flexure. It's hard to get that one out. Flexure will be our next word. So relating to, resulting from flexure is flexural. Number two is characterized by flexure. And what is flexure? Sort of sounds like a name. I'm trying to think of what name that is sounding like. I don't know. Flexure is next. Noun from 1592. Number one, the quality or state of being flexed, and the synonym is flexion, which was the second word in this episode. Any one of those flexion things. The quality or state of being flexed. I'm flexing the muscles, so I'm in a state of being flexed in flexure, flexion and flexure. And so then if I do this for too long, I will be described as flexural? I don't know. Okay, number two, the synonyms are turn, bend, and fold. Bend, folds, five, bend, folds, turn, bend, and fold. It's a flexure. All right. Now we have the last F-L-E word, which is flay, F-L-E-Y. It is a verb from the 13th century. It is only transitive. And it is Scottish. Scottish. The synonym is frighten. So it's a verb. So you are doing the action of flaying. When you jump out behind the door, when somebody's walking into a very dark room, you are flaying them. And they go, whoa, my gosh, that was so scary. You flayed me. What's the etymology of this one? We got to know. It's from Middle English, flayen. From Old English, aflegon, from blah, 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 a plus phlegon, and phlegon, F-L-E-G-A-N, in Old English means to put to flight. To put to flight. Ah, yes, when you scare somebody, you are putting them to flight. Maybe they leap into the air, they jump, they fall, they have been put into a flight situation. Fight or flight or freeze. Maybe they flew away because they were so scared because you flayed them, frightened them. This is a good one. To put to flight. I'm going to put you to flight when I scare you from behind the door. Oh, isn't that the best? I really do love flaying people in this way. I remember my friend Jonah was over. I think it was a sleepover and probably in junior high or something, and he came out of the bathroom, and of course, I was just right around the corner, and I scared him a little bit, and he leaped. I put him to flight, to say the least. He leaped and screamed and fell. It was very fun. He maybe had a little heart attack. Maybe he peed a little. No, I don't think he did. Okay, it's a fun thing to flay people. Next is, oh, such a good word to say, flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet? Flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet. I can't stop saying this word, flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet, flibbertigibbet, flibbertigibbet. Noun. From the 15th century. This is a silly, flighty person. Flibbertigibbety. We added a syllable, and that made it even better. Flibbertigibbety. This is an adjective. This is from, holy crap, we have actual etymology, kinda, sorta. It's from the Middle English, flippergebet, F-L-E-P-E-R-G-E-B-E-T. So there was a Middle English word from the 15th century that probably maybe meant a silly, flighty person that was sort of like flibbertigibbet? Flippergebet. But we extended it. We stretched it out because we are so smart. Okay. Wow. That's a not a good. I don't know what to say. A silly, flighty person. I guess maybe sometimes you can describe me. At least when I'm recording this podcast, I can be kind of a flibbertigibbet. I am kind of acting flibbertigibbety. Next is fleek. Yes, fleek. F-L-I-C. Noun from 1899. This is a French police officer is a flic. There is no etymology other than just saying it's French. So maybe we should just do a quick look of why is flic? Is that literally what the French word is for police officer? Let's go. Well, no, I think we would do this. We would start with French. Scroll down to find French, and then we'll just type in F-L-I-C. Cop! That's what it means. Other French words for this would be flic, policier, excuse, sommet, or sommet, probably sommet. Interesting. Cop. Flic is cop. A police officer. A French police officer. Fascinating. Never thought about that. Next, we have the first form of the word flick, F-L-I-C-K. Noun from the 15th century. Number one is a light, sharp, jerky stroke or movement, as in a flick of the wrist. Pew, bloop, 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 bloop. Lots of wrist flicks, I guess. Number two, a sound produced by a flick. I don't know if you can even hear these. If I flick the microphone. There we go. Ooh, and that had ripple effects. Just a flick. Blip, 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 blip. Number three is the first definition for the second form of the word flicker, which will be at the end of this episode. A flick. A flick of the wrist, a flick of the finger, a flick of the nose, a flick of the toes. Now we have the second form of flick. It is a verb from 1629. We're starting with transitive. Number 1a, to move or propel with, or as if with, a flick. As in, flicked her hair back over her shoulder. She just did a quick, sharp, jerky movement to flip her hair behind her shoulder. Oh, it's so hard to flick my hair because it's so short. It's just a little flick. Blah, blah. That's the sound you make when you flick your hair. Number 1B. To activate, deactivate, or change by or as if by flicking a switch. As in, flick off the radio. Flick it. Flick it off. Just you're changing the state of being when you're flicking the switch. But we also say flip. Which do you prefer, flick or flip? Flick the switch, flip the switch. I also imagine this to be like a physical thing, like a light switch that goes from up to down or left to right or whatever. That I imagine you can flick that off. But, you know, if I hit the button on this light like that, I don't know if I would call that a flick. flick of it. But I mean, technically, yeah, but I don't know. I prefer it. I prefer it on, first of all. And yeah, it's a flip, a flick, something. Okay. Now we have 2A, to strike lightly with a quick, sharp motion. To strike lightly with a quick, sharp motion, probably with your fingers or just a tap, anything. Number 2B, to remove with light blows, as in flicked an ash off her sleeve. Well, I guess that would be literally blowing air from your mouth. Like, oh, there's some cigarette ash on my sleeve. I'm just going to blow it away. Maybe there's an eyelash on your face and you go, you flick the eyelash away. Those were all transitive. And now we go to intransitive. Number 1, to go or pass quickly or abruptly, as in flicking through some papers. Quickly, abruptly, you're not really paying attention. You're just sort of skimming. Maybe you're counting pages, just making sure everything is there. I'm just going to flick through some pages real quick. Here, let me just flick through the dictionary pages. All right, I'm done flicking. Number 2, to direct flicks at something. You're directing your flicks at something. Flick the ashes, flick the hair, flick your nose. There was a word we had when Matt Fagerholm was on. That was for film. Where is that page? I want to see if I can find that word, because there was something. One of these were a Philip. Maybe it was a Philip. Yes, a blow or gesture made by the sudden forcible straightening of a finger curled up against the thumb. A Philip is a flick. All right, I think that was it for flick, except we have the third form of flick. Noun from 1926. The synonym is the word movie. Let's go watch a flick. I love watching flicks. I don't know if I really use this word so much. There are so many words for movies. Movie, flick, film, cinema. That's more of the overarching world of movies. Any other moving pictures? That's where movie came from. Yes, this is short for the second form of the word flicker, which is coming up. But first, we must go. It's a flicker sound because we have the first form of the word flicker. It's our last word, and we have two forms here in this episode. It's a verb from before the 12th century, and we are starting with intransitive. Number 1, to move irregularly or unsteadily. There is an example, a synonym. It's the word flutter. Maybe butterflies. Maybe butterflies are moving irregularly or unsteadily, so they are flickering by. There was a phrase, I probably said this a long, long time ago. There was a phrase I made up when I saw a butterfly, and in my head I said, another butterfly fluttered by. So yes, flutter, flicker, okay, that's it. Just maybe when you're drunk and you are unsteadily walking, you are flickering by. Number 2, to burn or shine fitfully or with a fluctuating light, as in a candle flickering in the window. To burn or shine fitfully or with a fluctuating light. Yep, we definitely say candles flicker because they're flickering. Or maybe if there are fake candles that are made, battery-powered candles, they have figured out how to make them flicker like real candles. Because it makes it feel more real and lively. Flicker, 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 flicker. Number 3, to appear briefly. Just there and then gone. They've flickered. You flickered in. What are we talking about? Maybe a light. Just like a light. It flickers on. It appears the light is on and then it goes away. Let there be light. Oh, crap, it's dark. Transitive time. Number 1. To cause to flicker. Number 2, to produce by flickering. Flickeringly is an adverb. Any interesting etymology? Not really. So we're going to move on to the very, 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 very last word. It's the second form of flicker. Noun from 1822. Number 1A, an act of flickering. Number 1B, a sudden brief movement. I don't think I have a whole lot to say about some of these. I'm just going to scroll on by. Number 1C is a momentary quickening, as in a flicker of anger. Ooh, ooh, a momentary quickening. Oh, my anger quickened inside me because I got briefly angry and then I realized, ah, everything's cool. So then my anger went away. It flickered away. Number 1D. A slight indication, the synonym is hint. Where did I hide the Easter eggs? Let me give you a little flicker, just a little flicker. I don't know where the Easter eggs are. You got to watch the video for that one. Number 2A, a wavering light. Maybe the candlelight, it's wavering. It's like, oh, I'm trying so hard to be alive, but I keep flickering in and out of existence. Number 2B, a repeated momentary defect in a cathode ray tube image caused especially by slow scanning of the screen. There's a flicker on the screen, a flicker in a, what is it, old TV, cathode ray tube image, a CRT TV. A repeated momentary defect in that image caused especially by slow scanning of the screen. Yeah, I guess sometimes in those old TVs, they would flicker because there was a problem with the stuff, or maybe you smack the top of it and it's going to flicker. Number 3, the synonym is movie, of course. Although, I would say flick instead of flicker. I don't know if I've heard flicker used so much for movies. Definitely a lot less than flick. This is often used in plural. Ooh, the flickers. We're going to see the flickers today. What flickers are we gonna see? We're gonna see a really cool flicker. Flickery is an adjective. Any other flicker? Well, the reason I think that they call the movies the flicks or the flickers, well, it probably started with flickers or flicker, and then it got shortened to flick, is because those very old school projectors, as they're going, you know, they were not the highest quality of tech compared to what we have today. And so as they would go through, there would be a flicker in the light. Also, maybe because I believe that they were originally lit from behind by candles. And so there were something like that, you know, in some, probably some container to focus the light. But, you know, a candle flickers, and so it's going to create a flickering look on the, or through the film onto the screen. That they were flickers, and they're flicks. That's why we call them flicks. I think. If I'm wrong, let me know. Anything else about that? Nope. I think we have reached the time of the show. Right here in this very show, we have reached the time where we're going to pick a word of the episode. Please enjoy this show. We had today flexal, flexion, flexitarian, flexography, flexor, flex time, or flexi time, flexuous, flexural, flexure, flay, fliberty gibbet, flick, 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 no, sorry, fleek, flick, 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 flicker, flicker. There's part of me that definitely wants to pick flick just for movie's sake. But you know me. You know me. I have to pick fliberty gibbet as the word of the episode. Fliberty gibbet, fliberty gibbet. Fliberty gibbet, I got the fliberty gibbets. When I'm acting so silly, I got the fliberty gibbets. Fliberty gibbet. All right, let's stop. I'm going to tell you about a movie that I watched. Okay, it's a. I watched a new one, and it's my new last movie to talk about. It was Last Breath, just came out. It is a true story. I did not know this. There was a documentary, I think, also called Last Breath, about this very story, and they made a movie about it. And at the beginning of the movie, they're giving some backstory about this job that these divers go down to do. It's one of the most dangerous jobs in the world, going down hundreds of feet into the very cold, high pressure, unsafe situations of the bottom of the ocean. Wait, meter? Is it meters or feet? Might be meters. And they go down and it's very dangerous and they have to fix the things, fix the pipes down there. Very important job. Somebody's got to do it, but it's dangerous, as you will learn when you watch the movie. And so then at the beginning, it said, this is a true story. It didn't say based on a true story. It said, this is a true story. And I'm now so curious to know, like, how true is it? Obviously, it's probably not word for word, unless they have recordings of what everybody said, but it's probably pretty close. Probably pretty close. And yeah, it's a very just intense story that actually happened. Worth a watch. Okay, I think that's everything I got to tell you today. I'm going to go do some other stuff now. I hope you enjoy your day. Whatever day this is, Sunday through Saturday, any whatever season, whatever year, just have a good day. Do what you can. Think positively, act positively, be cool, be nice, be excellent to each other, also to yourself. And until next time, this is Spencer the Flibberty Gibbet acting Flibberty Gibbety. Until next time, goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.